Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Tes. We're holding Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis, seven lines from the bottom of the Amid, where we have a machloikis between Rav and Reb Yoichanan. As you recall, the focus yesterday was largely on the Hilchos Yad and Shoimer. And as you recall, what does Yad v'Shoimer have to do with anything? It has a lot to do with Hilchos Tumah v'Tahara. And that is, if you're talking about a piece of meat which was totally tohoir, and then you had a tumah that touched it, such as an avela, a dead sheretz, etc., then of course it becomes tameh. However, what happens if it didn't touch the piece of meat itself? It touched the shoimer of the piece of meat. So you're wondering, what does that mean, a shoimer or a yad of a piece of meat? Let's talk about a yad first. So we gave an example of a polka. Polka is, as you all know, a drumstick, and that is part of the bottom of the chicken. Let's just talk about the polka itself, leaving behind or leaving aside the rest of the quarter of the chicken. So the polka consists of basically the chicken at the top and then the bone on the bottom. What happens if the tumah source, such as the nevela or dead sheretz, didn't touch the chicken at the top of the polka, but only touch the bone at the bottom? So we learned yesterday that's a case of yad being machnis the tumah, because until now the meat at the top of the polka was totally tuar. As a result of the tumah touching the bone of the polka on the bottom, that bone now acts as a conductor, not as a conductor of heat or electricity, but a conductor of tumah, and therefore the tumah now, it's machnis the tumah too, the chicken at the top of the polka. We said they have the same thing in reverse, which means what happens if the polka was that of a nevela? So therefore, totally tamme yikra, the chicken at the top of the polka. And now that chicken, were it to touch a piece of cake, lemushel, then of course it would make it tamme. For that matter, since a nevela happens to be an avatumma, even if it touches a person, the person becomes tameh. But instead of touching the polka, meaning the chicken at the top, you only touch the bone on the bottom. That's what Chazal called a yad. And therefore, if a person were to touch the yad of that polka, guess what? He becomes tameh. Why? Because the yad acts not only as a machnis, but also as a moitzi tumah. It exports the tumah to something else. A person, or a kli, or oich l'romashkin, etc., etc. That was a yad. Then there's something known as a shoimer. The shoimer case that we gave yesterday in the Gemara was that you have the oyer, which is protecting pieces of meat on the other side of the skin. Let's assume again we're talking about a kosher piece of meat. So then, normally to that those pieces of meat on the other side of the skin, to become tamei, they would have to go and touch l'moshel, either a nevela or a dead sheretz, to become tamei. The chiddush of shoimer is, even if it didn't touch the meat on the other side of the oil, it just touched the oil, or being the skin, since the skin protects the meat on the other side, guess what? It acts as a conductor to go and be mevi esatuma, so that the meat on the other side of the oil is going to become tamei. On the other hand, what happens if this was a skin that had nevela meat attached to it? Same thing. If I went and I picked up that oil, I made sure not to touch the meat. It's the meat that became tummy, not the oil doesn't become tummy. Oil is inedible. Only oichlin become tummy. So what happens now if I touch the oil? Said the Gemara, since the oil acts as a shoimer, I can also become tummy by touching the shoimer without touching the meat on the other side. So those are the basic halachas of yad and shoimer. If you're wondering what nafkimina is there between a yad and a shoimer, so we had in our Mishnah that if you're talking about tumas ochlin, the shoimer is even mitzdarif likashir. So for instance, in the case of the shoimer, if the total amount of meat was less than a shir kibaya, and now the oir is mashlim to the shir kibaya, the meat was 3/4 of a kibaya, the oir is 1/4 of a kibaya, now you have a kibaya altogether. Since you're talking about Tumas Ochlin, that Shoimer is mitzdarif to the shear of Kibay. Okay, that's what we learned yesterday. Now, Rav and Yeb Yochanan go one step further. and they say that the yad and the shoymer only has a chashivas of a yad or a shoymer if it's attached to a dover choshuv. How much is a dover choshuv? Says Yimar Omer Rav, and yad lepochis mikizayis. For that yad of the pulka to be a conductor of tumma both ways, lahachnis ulo hoitzi, it's got to be that the chicken on the top has to be lechola pochis a kizayis. Now you're wondering, I don't understand. For tumas ochlin, you need a shear of a kibeya. What is this business about a shear of a kizayis? So Rashi explains that we're talking about just the pulka itself. For that bone to have a chashivas of a yad, you have to have that the chicken on top is at least a kizayis. Now, for tumas ochlin purposes, says Rashi, we're talking about that pulka was together with other oichlin in the same package, in the same bowl, touching one another. If you add them all together, you had a shir kibayah. The question is, no tumma touched any of those oichlin. The tumma only touched the bone of that pulka. Is it going to be a conductor of tumma so that it's going to schlep the tumma from the nevela or from the dead sheretz and make the upper part of the pulka, the chicken, make it tameh, and then that kezayis on top is going to go and be mitzdarif to all the other oichlin to get to a shir kibeya? Same zuktach rav that the yad is only machnis in moitzi tumma if the amount of the chicken at the top of the bone on this pulka is at least a shir kizayis. If it's less than a shir kizayis, the yad is meaningless, irrelevant, gunish mit gunish. That's when you're talking about a yad. Same thing applies to gabi a shoymer, but there it's a different shir. Since a shoymer is much more of a zach than just the yad, because yad is just a handle, a hand. A shoymer provides security, it provides shmira. Then even if it's lepoches mikipul. It has to be at least the size of a pul. Pul means a large bean, perhaps like a large lima bean that some people use for a chulin, for mushel. So then the shoymer has to be at least the shear of a pul. If it's the shear of a pul, then the shoymer is mitzarev. If it's less than that shear, it's not mitzarev. Here Rashi gives another example of a shoymer besides the oyer, which is on the other side of the meat. Rashi explains, Lamushu, you could have a kulyas. Kulyas is a bone, shiyesh boi moyach. Just like you have the same concept of Gabi Korm Paisach, that you have an etzem shiyesh boi moyach, and the Pusik state, kol etzem lois ishbru voy. You're not allowed to go and break that bone, because even though it has moyach inside, and the Torah shteitach, kol etzem lois ishbru voy. Here too, if you have an etzem that has in it moyach means marrow, so then the bone acts as a shoymer to the marrow which is inside the bone. How much marrow has to be inside the bone so that this shoymer, that this bone, should be a conductor of tumma? There has to be at least a pull's worth of marrow inside the bone. In other words, the amount that would fill up a large bean. That's the halach of Rav. A yad has to at least have a kezayis. A shoymer has to at least have a kipul of oichel to which the yad or shoymer are going to act as conductors of tum. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, yesh yad lepochus mikazayis. You can have a yad less than a kazayis, and you can have a shoymer lepochus mikipul, and you can have a shoymer which is less than a pull as well. And now we're going to demonstrate Rav and Rabbi Yochanan's halacha by first bringing various brises and asking kashas. And through bringing those prices, we'll have a much better understanding of what Rav holds and what Rabbi Yochanan holds. So we bring the first price. Meisvei, Frank Dimur. Shnei atzomes valei and shnei chatzoi zeisim. Here we're talking about not timas oichlin, we're not talking about timas nevela, we're talking rachmono litzlon, we're talking about a person that passed away. As you know, when a person passes away, that's a very intense form of tumma. The body of that person, rachmono litzlon, is not just an avatumah. It's an avi avoisatumah. And therefore it can make other things into an avatumah. But that's not what we're focusing on now. We're focusing on now what we call tumas oil. What's tumas oil? If Rahman al-Islam, a person passed away in the middle of a room or in the middle of a house, then the whole room, the whole house is going to become full of tumah until you remove the body from the house. if you don't have a full body and only have a kizayis of basar, is also metame. What happens if you have a revius of dam of the body? It's also metame. Here the Gemara is talking about that there is no kizayis busa, there's no revius dam, but you do have atzamos, you have bones. Now you remember that for purposes of maga umasa of a mess, it's enough even a bone kissa oira, small little bone, even like that of a small barley corn. Mamish, very small. And that's why you have the whole shayla of a beis hapras, where a person may have walked in the beis hapras without knowing, and he may have touched a small little bindle, a little bone, he doesn't even realize it because the shear is kisoira. However, if you're talking about inside a bayis, or inside a cheder, a room, to have an oil hames, it's not enough to have a soira, you have to have by amtsumis, roiv minyan or roiv binyan. We're not talking about any of those cases. What we're talking about are cases over here that I have a bone, nebuch, of the nifter, and attached to the bone is some of the flesh of that individual. However, the flesh is not inside the room, inside the oil, it's sticking outside. It's the bone to which that flesh is attached that is inside the oil. Now, what happens if you had, in fact, such a bone, and the bone had on it a large piece of flesh of the nifter, and the bone is jutting into the oil, the flesh is on the outside? This braisa holds that that constitutes an oil hames, because the bone that is holding the kezayis of basar conducts tumah, so we look upon that bone as being the tumah itself, so I have an oil which has in it nebuch hames of a kezayis basar, even though the kezayis basar is not inside, it's outside, but it is as if it's inside because of the yad extending into the oil. But we're not talking about one etzem, we're talking about now shnei etzem, and each etzem only has a chutzi zayis of flesh attached to it. Shteito in the braisa, shnei atzamis, two bones, valein, and the two of them have respectively a chutzi zayis, so together we have shnei chatzoi zayisim, so two half kizayisim add up to one kizayis. V'ichnes rasheyen, when it says here in the Gemara shnayim, it means shneim. V'ichnes rasheyen shneim, the other side of the bone, not the side of the bone that has the flesh attached to it, that's outside. The other side of the bone, which is inside the oil, it's inside the bayis, va'bayis ma'al alein, and the roof of the bayis, the ceiling is ma'al on it, ha'bayis is tamei, the bayis is tamei. Yehuda ben Akusai, Mishum Reb Yankif, heich shnei atzomis v'tzavik v'kezayis, how could these two chotzi zeisim be mitzarif to one kezayis? So we have a machloikis here, Tanakama, and Yehuda ben Nakusa. And the Gemara is now going to ask first on Rav, and then we're going to address Reb Yoichanan. So, Frank de Morietz, note over here that we're talking about two atzamois. The Gemara is assuming that we're talking Mishum Yad, because you're holding on to the bone, and then you have the flesh at the top on the other side of the bone. So it's a Yad. So what does the Braisa say about that? Says the Tanakama, that as long as you have two Chatzoi Zeisim, they're mitzarif, and you have a full kizayif. That's obviously shver on Rav, because Rav said a moment ago, ein yad lepochis mikizayis. Here both yads had only a chotzi zayis, and you say that's enough to be mitzarif to go make a tumas mess, a tumas oil. Freitimar v'rav, hay b'may oikim lo. How does he explain this price? I b'yad kasha reisha, I b'shoimer kasha seifa. When the Gemara uses the term Reish and Seifa, we mean the Tanakama, and the Seifa is Yehuda ben Nakusa. Okay, so according to the Tanakama, two Chatzoi Zeisim can be mitzarif to cause this house to be an oil hames. How could that be? Ibiyad kasher reisha. Is the shver on Rav that Rav says, ein yad lepochis mikizayis. Each one of these two yads, really yodois, but each one of these two yads only has a chutzi zayis on it, so it cannot conduct tumah. So even if you put together 2, 3, 5, 10 yads, each one of which has less than a kizayis, it's worthless. Ein yad lepochis mikizayis. Yet the Tanakhama says, Abayis Tomei, the Shver on Rav from the Tanakhama. Elamai, Rav holds like Yehuda ben Nakusa. And Emerson, that's a very easy teret. Rav says, I hold like Yehuda ben Nakusa. Yehuda ben Nakusa says, how do two atzamos be mitzaref lekazayis? In other words, they cannot be mitzaref. You know why? Because that's Rav. Rav says ein yada pachas mikazayis. So Rav is squarely like Yehuda ben Akusa if we're talking about a yad. On the other hand, says the Gemara, ibeshoimer. Maybe we're not talking about a yad. Maybe we're talking about a shoimer. Now, how could you have a shoimer? Like we said before, that you have a bone that has marrow inside the bone. And so therefore the bone is not just acting as a yad that you hold onto as a handle, but it's also shoimer, it preserves all of the marrow inside the bone. Ah, so if that is the case of the Braisa, then Kasha Seifa is a shver on Yehuda ben Nakusa, because Yehuda, not shver on Yehuda ben Nakusa, it's shver on Rav from Yehuda ben Nakusa. What shver on Rav? Because it says here in the Braisa, how can you get these two atzamas be mitzaref lekizayis? Says Rav, that's not a... In other words, it's not mitzaref and the oil does not become tameh. Says Rav, according to me, it would become tameh. Because if we're talking about a shoimer, the shear is not a shear of kizayis, the shear is a shear of kipul. And therefore, even though each one of these atzamas is only a chutzizayis, But it's more than a pull. If it's more than a pull, then it is mitzvah. If it is a moitzi and machnis es hatumah. So why does Yehuda ben Akusa say that it's not an oil hames? About it is an oil hames. As long as each one is more than a pull, and each one is more than a pull, because each one is a chutzi zayis. It's more than a pull, so therefore it's machnis and moitzi hatumah, so it should be a real oil hames. So if this braisa is talking about Yad, is shver from the Tanakh Kama. If it's talking about Shoimer, it's shver from Yehuda ben Akusa. And for the Gemara, Iba Yisema b'Shoimer, Iba Yisema b'Yad. Either we're talking about a Shoimer, or we're talking about b'Yad, and the Gemara explains, Iba Yisema b'Yad, v'Hudi Omar ki Yehuda ben Akusa. We're talking about a Yad. And then that's Rav and Yehuda ben Akusa are saying mamish the same halacha. Rav says, Ein Yad l'pochis mikazayis, if each one of these atzomais has less than a kazayis, then it's not maybe or moitzi es hatoma, and that's what Yehuda ben Akusa says. Heich shnei atzamis mitar for the kazayis. Since each one of them is less than a kazayis, so then each one of them cannot, neither of them can be machnis or moitzi tuma, and that's why this will not be a tumas oyel ames. That's what Rav said. A yad less than a kazayis is worthless, says Yehuda ben Akusa. Two atzamis, each one less than a kazayis is worthless. Actually, Hatzim is half the kazayis. So then Rav stims very nicely like Yehuda ben Akusa. V'ibo yisayma b'shoimer. It could be the Bryce is not talking about a yad, it's talking about a shoimer. And what's the din then? B'hudi omer ketanakama. Then he holds like ketanakama. Why? Because by a shoimer, Rav said, all you need is a pull. You don't need a kazayis. And here you had much more than a pull. You had a chutzizayis. Chutzizayis is larger than a pull, says Rashi. So therefore, when I have shnei atzomis, and each one has a chutzizayis, that's why the two conduct the tumah from outside the oil into the oil with the shoimer, with these bones sticking inside the oil. And that's why the oil is tamay, because they have more than a sheer kippah. That's all according to Rav. What about Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan Omar kula biyad. Hudi Omar kitanakam. Remember, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan said, "Biyad yesh yad lepochis mikizayis." Oh, that's the Tanakama. The Tanakama said that even though each yad had only a chutzi zayis, the two are mitzaref to a kizayis to be maybe a satoma into the oil. That's Rabbi Yochanan. You don't need a full kizayis. Yesh yad lepochis mikizayis. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan can learn exactly the Tanakama. No. So we asked and answered on Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, and now we go on to a second writer. Toshima.
Rav said Rav is in trouble either with Yad or Shomer, either according to Tanakama or Yehuda ben Akusa. So how do we answer according to Rav? Rav is still kind of, unless you say Rav Tanu probably, how did Rav...
No. What the Gemara is saying is, Rav... The Gemara in the Havamina was hoping that Rav would be able to shtim with both the Tanakama and Yehuda ben Akusa. But the Gemara says that's impossible. because if it's talking about Yad, he can't shtim like the Tanakama. If it's talking about Shoimer, he can't shtim like Yehuda ben Akusa. So Gemara says, you're right. Itaka cannot shtim according to both of them, but at least according to one of them. So if you're talking about a Shoimer, if you're talking about, I'm sorry, Iboisim Biyad, he holds like Yehuda ben Akusa. And just like Yehuda ben Akusa said, that if you have only a Chotzi Zayis, it's not Mitzaref, and there's no Tumas Oil, Rav said, that's me. I hold the same thing. And Yad the Pachim Mikazai. Or if the Brice is doing a Shoimer, then Rav says, I hold like the Tanakama. The Tanakama says, as long as it's more than a Kippul, it's maybe Esatuma. And here, since we're talking about each one had a Chutzi Zayis is larger than a pull. Say, both of them are maybe Satuma into the Tumas Oil. Okay? Toshima. Now we have a kasha from another Brice. And we're going to go through the same type of analysis again. But here, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, we're talking about a kulyas. We mentioned before, a kulyas means a bone that has marrow in it. The kulyas specifically happens to be the upper thigh bone. The upper thigh bone, if you chas v'shalom, you break it, there is marrow inside. Okay, now we're not talking about a person, now we're talking about the habdol behema. So you have a behema, the kulyas, the upper thigh bone. Sheyesh oleha kzayis basar, though the Gemara uses the term aleha, it really means sheyesh betoicha. It has in it the kzayis of basar. Koyreris kula l'tumah. It can schlep mit everything else for tumah purposes. Somebody has somebody should mute themselves because there's noise in the background. So kindly mute yourselves, everyone. Getting back to our Gemara, the Behuda says you have this kulyas. There is a marrow inside, so the bone of the kulyas is now acting as a shoimer, and it has a kizayis in it. What's the din? The goyreris kulitumma. It can schlep everything else for tumma. What does it mean, schlep everything else? If you're talking about tumas oichlin means not that this was an avela, this was a kosher animal, and there is the outside source of tumma that is coming in and is being metame, such as a dead sheret, such as nevela, etc. So then, if I'm starting off with the kulyas, and that kulyas touches the dead sheret or the nevela, it can act as a conductor of tuma, and now the marrow inside becomes tame. Well, that's only a kezayis. For tumas oichlin, I need a kibaya. That's no problem. It'll kireres kula. It's going to schlep mit all the other oichlin that are there together with that kulyas, that they should all come to become tamei. So what do I see from this, Rabbi Yehuda? That I'm talking about a shoimer, and the shoimer has a shear of a kezayis. Chayr, I don't need a shear of a kezayis. Even according to Rav, I only need a shear of a kippul. So we're going to discuss this in another moment. I don't need a kezayis. Even a kippul is enough, since we're talking about a shoimer. Zuktimor, v'rav, hay b'may moikim lo. How does Rav explain this brisa? If he says we're talking about a yad situation, in other words, even though a kulyas has in it the marrow, that's not what we mean. We mean actually the flesh which is on top of the kulyas, like the lashon of the brisa. And then the kulyas becomes a yad, holding up the handle for that basar which is on that bone. Zoktimara, ibiyad kasha seifa. Why is it kasha seifa? The seifa meaning the achirim oimrim. The achirim say it's enough only kippul. Afila ain't allowed kippul, gereris kul letumah. But Rav doesn't hold that way. Rav says by yad you have to have the minimum of a kizayis, not just a kippul. So Rav could not shtim l'choyra like the achirim oimrim. Iba shoimer, if you're telling me that this machloik is talking about a shoimer, which is the parshup shot by a kulyas that it has inside the marrow, so it's talking about a shoimer, what is the ratio say? What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Kuli sheyesh aleha kezayis basar is enough. Ibishoimer kasha reisha. If the ratio is talking about a shoimer, because of the marrow inside, you don't need a kezayis. Even if you had a kuli sheyesh shiur kippul, the same halacha would apply. Why does the Tanakhama say you need a kezayis? So again, says the Gemara, Ibishoimer biyad, Yehudi omek Rabbi Yehuda. Ibishoimer bishoimer, and he holds kache. Avada. Rav cannot hold like both of them. He can only hold like one of the two tonight. So Iba Yisema, that the Brice is talking about Yad. V'hud Yom HaKerav Yehuda. What is Rav hold the Gabi Yad? a yad, you have to have a minimum of kizayis. No, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yehuda, oy mekuli shalei shalei kizayis basar, koi reres kuli tumma. You have to have that kizayis. The achirim say, no, it's enough to have kippul. Rav disagrees with that. Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda if we're talking about a yad. But you're saying if you're talking about a shoimer, then Rav is squarely like the achirim. How is like the achirim? Because Rav said when you're talking about a shoimer, you have to have at least a bull. So then, that stems very nicely with Rav. Again, Rav cannot hold like both. But if he says machleg is bayad, then he can hold like the Tanakama. And if he says machleg is gabi shayma, he holds like the achayim. Rabbi Yochanan omar kula bishayma. Rabbi Yochanan says the machleg is taka by shaymer, vudi omar ka achayim. And Rabbi Yochanan says I hold like the achayim. Now, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan said that when you're talking about a shoymer, you don't even need a pull. You certainly don't need a kazayis, but you don't even need a pull because you're talking about a shomer. Therefore, yei shomer lepachas mikapul. Now the achirim over here say that you do need a kippul. So, thank the Gemara lechayra, the Rabbi Yochanan doesn't stim like achirim. You just said now you don't like achirim. Achirim or kippul ko amri, and he, Rabbi Yochanan, holds you don't even need a kippul. Every more, I did the comment on a kama shiura, kama inunami shiura. You're 100% right. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you don't even need a share of kippul. However, since Rabbi Yehuda talked about having a share of the kizayis, so the achirim say, nah, you don't need a kizayis, even a kippul, and parenthetically, even less than a kippul. But we mentioned a kippul because we say a kizayis, we say a kippul. Sorry?
If there's no buster, if the pool is already so small, if there's no buster, then it's an empty
bowl. We're talking about, if it's a shoymer, the marrow inside. As long as you have, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even less than a kippul. Less than a kippul is that, we're going to see in the Gemara shortly, that a pool is not the smallest chair. You can have a kitnius, which is small, little beans. Whenever you buy these chulet mixture in one of these cellophane, you have the larger beans, red kidney beans, lima beans, and you have these small little beans. Those are called kidneys. We're going to talk about that momentarily. In the meantime, says Rabbi Yochanan, you don't even need like a large bean, even like a half a bean, or even a smaller amount. At least a mashu. He doesn't say mamish mashu, but he says it doesn't even need a kapul, which sounds like even a mashu would be enough. So therefore, if you even have just a drop of marrow inside the bone, says Rabbi Yochanan, that's enough to be a conductor of tumah. The achirim said you have to have a kippul. So it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan is disagreeing with the achirim. Says, but no. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with the achirim. The reason why they use the term kippul is because since the Tanakhama said kizayis, you don't need a kizayis, a kippul is enough. But Rabbi Yochanan tells us that the achirim really hold that even less of the kippul is also enough. Says the Gemara Amar Rava, they cannot be Mishoy Maskinen. I'll bring you right there with Taka talking about a Shoymer and not by a Yad. Diktani Kulius. Why do they focus on Kulius? Why don't they talk about any bone? After all, every single animal has 10, 20, 50, 100 bones, whatever. And if it's, and bone is the same like an Aver, so then you have 248. I don't know if an animal has the same number as a human being. It doesn't make a difference. The point is, there are many, many bones. Why does he talk about a kulyas? Because a kulyas has the marrow inside. That's what makes it kosher. Everybody, please put yourselves on mute because there's some noise in the background. Thank you.
Please put yourself on mute.
Okay, it's done. On mute. Back to the Marvite. So therefore, Rav is being arrived to Bishoy Maskin is the Kroni kulyas. And even more than that, no, Taka, says kulyas. Kulyas has marrow inside as opposed to other bones that have no marrow inside. Shmami no is the right that we're talking about a shoymer and not talking about a yad, because we're talking about a yad that we could have talked about any bone and not just a kulyas. Now this last point that we said that according to Yochanan, we don't really mean a kippul, slav dafka, just because he's mimicking Rabbi Yehuda that used a shear of a kizayis. He now uses a shear of a kippul. Itmar, Rabbi Chanina Omer Zehu shear, Rabbi Yochanan Omer Ein Zeh shear. The Machlokes Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan is focusing on achirim. when the Achirim said Kippul, did they taka mean Mamish a Kippul, that's Ishir? Or no, Lav Dafka, like Rabbi Yochanan said a moment ago. Talk to Yimara, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ain Zeh Shir. I walked on in Kippul, Shtetach Mefeirish, a Shir of a Pul. What are you telling me? That Lav Dafka, after Yimara, like we said before, I didn't come to Tanakama Shiura. Since the Tanakama said it's got to be a Kizayas, Kamri Inu Namishir, they say, nah, don't exaggerate. You don't need a Kizayas. Even a Kippul is enough. And says Rabbi Yochanan, Lav Dafka Kippul, even lesser than Kippul. He only chaps in full because that was a shiur. Okay, Torah Shema. The Blazman is Ayy Metayr Bishel Pul, or Metami Bishel Kitnius. The Neshiroisha, Roitse Himash Misha. Now, the Gemara doesn't really give us any background about what we're talking about. There's a Rashi that goes a little bit more into the details, but we're talking about, at least according to the Havamina, the Pul and Kitnius in their natural habitat. What is their natural habitat? I'm sure all of you have heard of the expression like peas in a pod, and many of you have probably eaten peas in a pod. Sometimes if the pod happens to be very, very soft, sometimes the people eat the pod together with the peas. Other times, no, it's a hard pod. You open up, you split open the pod, you take out the peas, and you throw the pod away. But our Gemara tells us, guess what? In their natural habitat, as they are growing, pull, which is a large bean, kitnius, which is a small bean, they also grow inside pods. And those pods, Rashi calls sharvitin. And what happens if you have a pull inside its sharvit, and tumma touches that pod? It doesn't touch the bean. It touches the pod. Says Rabbi Luzman Azariah, it's tahar. Why is it tahar? The Gemara doesn't tell us what the shear is. Whether it's a shear of a kizayis. I mean, the pull obviously is a shear of a pull, but together with the outside pod, you might have a shear kizayis, you might have a shear kibaya. Rashi says that pod is basically worthless vis-a-vis a pull. Why? Because since the pull happens to be a large bean, it doesn't need that outside pod. Presumably it needs it as it's growing from very, very small, little nothing, into a large size bean. But once the bean is finished, it's ripe, you don't need the pod anymore, the pod is worthless. And therefore, says Rashi, it is neither the chashivis of a yad, nor the chashivis of a shoymer, because the pull says, zag isn't, I don't need you anymore, I'm okay on my own. That's what a bluesman is saying. Mashem the kitnis. Kitnis is very, very small. It's a small little bean, probably half the size of a pull, maybe even smaller than that. Then you do want to have that outside sharvet. You want to have that pod. The nisha roitz of the mashmishan. What means roitz of the mashmishan? Mishmush means to rub your fingers, to go and get this kitnius out. You have to be able to rub against it on the pod, and then you can extract the kitnius from the pod. So you do need that pod after all for the kitnius, and therefore that kitnius together with the pod are going to be mitzaref, if you will, and therefore if you have someone who touches the pod with a shtik nevela or a shtik dead sheretz, then the pod will conduct and be maybe a satuma to the kitnius inside. The kasha is going to be quite obvious. If you're talking about a kitnius which is so small, it's even less than a pull. Didn't Rav say that for purposes of conducting tumma, you have to have, depending whether you have a yad or a shoymer, assuming that this pod has the status of a yad, then you would need at least a kizayis. But even if you say no, it has the status of a shoymer because it's protecting the kitnius, you need at least kippul. A kitnius is half the size of a pull, maybe even less than that. And nevertheless, it says it's mitami mishal kitnius, that sharvit, that pod, goes and is conductor, and it's maybe a satoma. It's a chzeh shver on Rav. It's not shver on Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says that since the pod has the status of a shoymer can conduct tumah even lepachas mikapol, even the size of a kidneys. It's like a bazoi, is a kash on Rav from this Rabloza ben Azariyom. Everything marked the Amar of Acha Bereid Rava Bekulcha Umishim Yad. Rachanami Bekulcha Umishim Yad. Just like Rav Acha Bereid Rava said on another Mishnah, another Braisa, a kulcha. What's meant a kulcha? Kulcha, says the art scroll, means a stem. And attach the way the beans grow is they have a large stem, which is called a kulcha, and to the kulcha is attached 5, 10, maybe 20 such pods, 20 such sharvitin. And in each sharvit you have growing, in the case of the large beans, you have the pul. In the case of the small beans, you have the kidneys. Ah, so now when Reb Lozman and Azariah is talking about metamishal kidneys, we learned until now that we were talking about the sharvit, which means the pod. No. We're talking about the kulcha, which is the stem. How does that help me that we're talking about the stem? Says Rashi, because since attached to the stem, you don't just have one pod of kidneys. You have multiple pods of kidneys. That is far more than a kidneys, than a pull, than a kezias. It could be even a kebaya. All of those pods which are attached to the kulcha. And each one of the pods, of course, has in it a number of beans. So altogether, you got a huge amount. And therefore, the kulcha mishum yad, since we're no longer talking about the pod. The pod is the one that's the sharvit that protects the pull or the kidneys inside. But here we're not talking about protection. We're talking about carrying with a stem. The stem is a yad. Oh, what's the minimum shear of the yad? Is a shear of kezias, according to Rav. This is far more than a kezias, since we're not talking about the pod. We're talking about the stem. Didn't we use the term mashmishan? Mashmishan means that you rub against the kidneys by rubbing against the pod. You're rubbing your fingers. So you know the mashmishan means betashmishan. Tashmishan means that it's easy to carry around all of these numerous pods with the numerous beans inside by holding on to one stem. So that's what he means betashmishan, to be metaltal mimokim lemokim. If you have a kulcha, it's so much simpler. Toshima, we have a similar kasha, the Tanit Beit Rabbi Shmuel. This we had at the beginning of the perek 2 days ago. The Tanit Rabbi Shmuel, al kol zera zeirua asher yizareya kedera shebeni odem maitzin, chita b'klipasa, soira b'klipasa, v'adashim b'klipasa. That what? That when it comes to tumas oichlin, as opposed to tumas nevela, a shoimer is not only machnis u'moitzia satuma, but also it is mitzarev to the tumah. So therefore, since by tumas oichlin you need a shear, a minimum shear of a kibaya, you can throw in the shoimer to be mashlim the shear kibaya. Okay, but what does it say over here? It says that we're talking about these klipois. Klipois are the outside shell. The outside shell, you cannot hold the chipa b'kliposa, sa'ira b'kliposa, dasha b'kliposa, any better with the klipa on it, because the klipa really is the same size or just a drop more than the chita that it encloses. So it doesn't have a din of a yad, but it has a din of a shoimer. Shoimer that it protects the seed inside it. That klipa, that outside peel, is a shoimer. And what are we saying? That if you have a tumah source that touches that chita b'kliposa, sa'ira b'kliposa, dasha b'kliposa, then they're going to be tame, because even though it didn't touch the chita itself, it touched the klipa, but the klipa is a mevi es ha-tumah. Break Gemara. But you're talking about even adashim are lentils. Lentils are mamish ha-amashu, it's a chazoy klein. It's so small. That's much less than a pul, even less than a kidneys. And nevertheless, you're saying that the shoimer is, not only is it mevi es ha-tumah, it's even mitztarif. Didn't we say that according to even Rabbi Yochanan, ein shoimer pochus mikapol, this is much less than a pull. It's mamish adashim, it's a gunish. Says Yimar, 100% right. Right. Here's an exception to the rule, beri yeshani. Like we've had in the past, that when you have a beria, even though it's less than your normal shear, nevertheless, that has the din of the shear. The famous case of the beri yeshani is the gabi ein namala. Person goes and touches a dead namala, or eats a namala, or whatever, even though a namala is less than the normal shear of a kezayis, a kebeya, whatever, namala is like a small little ant, like a mamish agunish. Nevertheless, if you were to go and eat it, you're going to be oiver, because you ate a full beria. We had a machloikis, if you remember the gabi gira nosha, when it's also considered to be a keberia. Here too, you have the adashim, a full adash, when it's touched by tumah from the outside. Stachagansa dashim, we're not talking about a half a piece of cake, a half of a watermelon slice, a half of a grape. We're talking about a full adashim, a full adash, adasha, full one. So therefore, it is the klipa that is attached to it can conduct and become a shomer, even though it's less than a kibbul, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so we're finished now with this machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, and now we're going to talk about a slightly different shayla. Boi Raboishia, shnei shomrim maushi etzdarfu. If you have two shomrim, one shomer we said is mitame and is mitzdarfu. Thomas Eichlin from this pasuk, kol zera zerua she yizareya. Etc. But now we want to know about whether two shoimrim can be mitzdarif to what shear? To the shear of a kibeya. We said before that the minimum shear, legabi tumas achlin, is a shear kibeya. If I have one shoimer, mitzdarif. What happens if it's only through two shomrim? Is that mitzdarif? So, Freydimar Hechidami, can you give me an example? What do you have in mind? You have a shoimer on top of another shoimer. Remember, we had a case like that yesterday where we had a rimoin. On top of the rimoin, it had a pitum, like an esrig. And on top of the pitum, we had a net. So that was a shoimer al gabi shoimer. So Yomara wants to know, is that what we mean by the shnei shomer? Zokti Yomara. Ilay mezeh al gabzeh, umi ikki shoimer al gabi shoimer. Do we hold that a top shoimer is mitzdarif to a bottom shoimer? But Tanan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Sholish Klipois Bibotzel. Botzel, as you know, is onions, or in Yiddish, Tzibelach. Now, every single onion, when you open, you know from the outside, it has this yellow outside peel that people do not use. They peel it off. But even when you take off the outside peel, you feel there's still other layers of peel inside this Botzel. At what point is it the batzel, and what point is it a klipa, which has the status of a shoimer? So Yehuda says there are really three levels. Sholish klipa is bebatzel. You have the panemius. Panemius means all the way. Rashi says that's the white peel. For those of you that have ever peeled onions, you know that as you get deeper into the onion, right outside of it has such a white peel. It's a very slim, very thin peel. It's almost transparent. Anyway, so that white peel, bein shleima, bein kedura mitzterefes. Say if that klipa is intact. Or even if you've made a hole in it by with a knife or whatever, mitzterefes, that's still considered to be a peel. And therefore, if a dead sheretz or an avela, the marshal, were to go and touch this batzel, the batzel itself only had 0.99 of a kibeya. That inside peel, that white peel, that thin one, would be mitzdarif. Then you have the emtsois. Then you have a peel which is slightly above that. Again, if it's shleima, if it's complete, no holes, it's mitzdarif. Kidur, if it has a hole, ain't mitzdarif, is because that's already a very shvacha shoimer, and it loses its Torah shoimer. Chitzoina, the outside peel, mamish, like that yellow stuff that you first peel off before you even get to the inside onion, this is gunish mit gunish. So what do I see from that? Why is the chetzoyne gunish mit gunish? Because it's a shoimer al gabi shoimer. When did the Torah say that a shoimer is mitzdarif and that it's moitzi machnas esatuma? If the shoimer is securing and it's giving shmira to an oichel, here the outside shoimer is not giving shmira to the oichel; it's giving shmira to the shoimer. Shoimer al gabi shoimer, that's kunish, it's not maybe machas, it's tumma, and it's also not mitzdarif. Oh, sorry, bazoi.
But the outer is protecting also not just the middle shomer, but even the inner shomer, so the inner material. So why are we saying it's not being a shomer? It is a shomer, it's just that it has an assist from the next shomer lower inside.
Excellent question. So please look at the Rashi fourth line. Rashi says, chitzoyna, next line to Haida. Yes. Shein shoimer al gabi shoimer, choshev shoimer. The whole din of shoimer, of course, is a chidush. We have an outside tumah source, like an avela or a dead sheretz. If it touches an oichel, I understand it becomes tameh. Because a sheretz, an avela, and all of these avatumas, not only if they touch food items, and even metameh, or the mekelim. But here we're not talking about touching the food item. we're touching the shomer of the food item. The shomer of the food item is not edible. Nobody eats those shomrim. Nevertheless, based on the pasuk that we had, Zerah Zerah Shir Zereah, the klipa is mitzdarif and it's machnis the moitzis atumah. So the Gemara says, you know, ein lecha elachidush shoy, that first shomer that's surrounding the food. Okay, I throw that in there. That's also machnis the moitzis. It's also mashlim and mitzdarif to the shir. But once you're talking about the shomer, gabi shomer, you know, there's got to be a limit to this chidush. Therefore, the Gemara is telling us the chidush is only the shomer itself. Sorry? You're coming out very fuzzy. I can't understand what you're saying.
The inner shomer like that, when you have the outer, the shomer is really the outer layer. Why are we saying that the inner emtsoi is a shomer, not an ochel? People eat it. When you peel the onion, it's a discretion, really, how much you peel away before you start chopping it up and putting it into your food. And you can take out just that very thin, transparent paper-like material. But then once you start getting in, you have so many. I mean, at what point does shomer transition to food?
So it's very interesting that you say that. If you take a look at the top line of Rashi, Panemius, Hainu Oisilavona Harishoina Hora Uyalecho, that's roi to eat, even though it's the shoim, it's not really considered to be the onion, it is the outside covering, but it's roi lecho. Kidura, even if it has a hole, it's mitzterefes, shari atzma oichel. That inner one is not even called a shoimer, that's oichel, even though technically it's a shoimer, but since it's edible, it's so thin, moist, like the rest of the onion, you can eat it, it's a oichel. And so is the middle one, that's the first shoimer, so to speak, which normally you don't eat, you cut it off, you throw it out. But it has the status of a shoimer. So as long as it's a shleimer, then it's mitzdarif, because it's a good shoimer. Once it has a hole, nishka get to shoimer. When you talk about the chitzoina, that's not even a shoimer, that's a shoimer shal gabi shoimer. Shoimer shal gabi shoimer is not considered to be a shoimer for hilchais, going and conducting tumah from either an avela to the batzel, or from the batzel to something else. So the Gemara is now giving us this halacha. So when you're going to learn Masechtas Machshirin, when you have all the Mishnayos which are detailing all Hilchos Yad and Hilchos Shomer, you'll see that Shomer is only the initial Shomer and not a Shomer Sh'al Gabi Shomer. That the Torah did not go that far to say that it can conduct Tumah or that it's Mitztarif to Tumah. Anyway, Suzuki Mara, if that's the case that Reb Oishia was asking about whether Shnei Shomrim are Mitztarif, I have a Befeirish Mishnah. The Mishnah Masechtas Uktzin that says it's not Mitztarif. Soi Bazoi. So Vos is Dishaila. And for the Gemara, Reb Oishia Shomer Oichel, Shecholku Kami Boyalei. Oh, we're talking about an Oichel that had a Shomer around it. And the oichel itself was more than a sheer kizayis, so therefore the shomer outside of it was certainly good. Even according to Rav, you don't need a sheer kizayis; you only need a sheer kipul. But it was a huge, huge oichel with huge shomer around it. So far it was beautiful. So therefore, if any nevela or dead sheret or any other source of tumah would touch that shomer, then the oichel would become tamei yikra; it would become tamei. But what happened was that someone took a knife and cut it down the middle. So now, what was previously one oichel that had a shomer around the whole thing is now two chotzi oichlin and chotzi shomrim around them. And we're not going into shiurim now. Let's assume that each one is more than a kazayis, so we don't have to get into the machloikis Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. But the shaila is, what's the shaila of a Rabbi Oishia? Kiven the high loy megin a high, the high loy megin a high, loy mitzter ephes. Since the shomer for chelik aleph is not a shomer anymore for chelik beis, and the shomer for chelik beis is no longer a shomer for chelik aleph because you split it down the middle, maybe it's not mitzdarif. You have to have a shomer for the ganze oichel. Oy dilma kim the high megan adiday, the high megan adiday. Each half shomer is being megan. It's a shomer on its half of the oichel, so it's doing a good job. So therefore, each half a shomer is not a half a shomer. It's a ganze shomer. It's a gam tishoimer on its half. So maybe it is mitzdarif after all. And that was Rabbi Yishala, where the two shomrim came mitzdarif together to get to the shear of a kibeya of Tumas Achlet. Let's try to go and answer this from the Brisa that we already brought on the Umar Aleph. Reb Luzer ben Azariah metayer bishel pul umetami bishel kitnias when they shiroitze b'mashmishon. Remember the original Havamina, and the Gemara goes back to that Havamina. We're talking about pulim and kitnias. Pul are very large beans, like red kidney beans or large lima beans that people put into their chulent. And the other one, the kidneys, are the small little beans. If you buy these chulent mixes in such a plastic, you have the large bean and you have the smaller beans. Okay, so now the Gemara initially thought we're talking about the sharvit. Sharvit, says Rashi, means the pod. Just like you have peas in a pod, you also have these kidneys as well as the pulim growing inside a pod. Okay, so what does it say about that? That it says that if you have a pod which has in it a pull, or you have in a pod which has in a kidneys, by the pull, it's tohar. Because Rashi said on the Umar Aleph, you don't need that shoyim, you don't need that pod. The kidneys says, the pull says, I can work it out myself, I have enough pull, I don't need any other help. So therefore the shoyimer is not considered to be a shoyimer, it's considered to be just waste. Mashayeng, the kidney said, no, I need that pod very badly. When they shoreitz mashmisha, to be able to take the kidneys and hold it and be able to be mashmish biyadayim, to rub it, I need the pod, it's very, very helpful to me. So what do I see from this? I have a kidneys together with the pod around it. And the Gemara is assuming that is only like a chutzi, it's only like a half. It's very, very small. See, if you're Rashi says, if you look at the Rashi here on the left-hand side, umetami b'shol kidneys, about 10 lines from the top of the Amid, says Rashi, kosol kadaita d'shnayim u'shloishi sharvitim mitztarfem lekebeyem oichel shebehem. I'm assuming, says Rashi, according to the Havamina, that we had to have two or three pods together, divade in b'sharvit echad kebeyem. Each pod is relatively insignificant, very small. You don't have a shir kebeyem at ein sharvit. But nevertheless, if you put the two shavitim and the three shavitim together, then it's mitzarif. Al mishnei shomer mitzarifim mishnei ochlin likabeya avagav dahai loy megin ahai. Each shavit only does a job for its own kidneys. Shavit number one doesn't do any shmira for kidneys number three, which is in a separate pod. Each pod does its own shmira. But nevertheless, they don't do any more. Rabbi Zimun Azariah says that you can mitzarif all the pods together is the chasimin that shnei shomrim are mitzarif. Everything more, like the Gemara said in the Omer Aleph or Machab Rei Rava, we're not talking about a shoyim, we're talking about the kulcha. Kulcha, you remember, means the stem to which is attached 2, 3, 5, 10 such sharvitim. And therefore, that stem is not a shoimer, that stem is a yad, mishim yad. Ah, so when you're talking about a yad, we weren't asking a shala whether yadayim or yodois are mitzdarv, we were talking about whether shomrim are mitzdarv. So therefore, this has nothing to do with the shayla that Rabbi Yishia asked about. Ichrednish ben gashoymer, chredach ben gayad. And that yad, explained Rashi back in the Omer Aleph, could have attached to it numerous sharvitim. And each sharvit, even if it's only a quarter of a kebeah, or even a half a kebeah, guess what? One kulcha holds on it 3, 4, 5, 10 such sharvitim. So those are all mitzdarif to more than a shir kebeah. So you have no raya to our question about the two shamim. Aye, what does it say? Mashmishon. Mashmishon sounds like we're talking about the pod, not talking about the stem. Says you more of a tashmishon. Tashmishon said Rashi in the Omer Aleph that you can go and easily carry it from place to place when you have one stem to which is attached 10 such pods. I don't have to go and count each pod individually and hold them and be careful it shouldn't fall. You just have one stem. It's easy be tashmishon. Dr. Moravaitzer. Toshima, again we're going to try to be poishit our shayla about shnei shomrim, whether they're mitzdarif. Toshima, the thunder of Yishmael, al kol zezura, she yizareya, same as we had on the Omer Aleph, kidesh b'ni odom mitzin lezriya, chita b'kliposis, hori b'kliposis, badashim b'kliposan. So now, you're talking about that each one of them has a klipa, which means that you're talking about the shomer on it. One adash or adasha is obviously very, very, very small, has no significance. When would it mitzarif to Tumas Oichlin? If you have numerous adashim, you have to have probably at least 10 adashim, 20 adashim, that it should add up to a kibbeah. If that's the case, Here we're talking that Dash and Bikli Pasan, that the Shomer is Mitztarif. But I'm talking about 5 Shomim, 10 Shomim, because I'm talking about 5 or 10 Adashim Bikli Pasan. That being the case, I have a raya that Shnei Shomrim are Mitztarif one with the other, even though the Shomer, the Klipa on this Adasha, is not helping for any Shmira for the other Adasha. Doesn't matter. I can be Mitztarif numerous Adashim with numerous covers to them, numerous klipas. So you see, we can be poached in the shalom.
That's the klipa of a small thing, not the onion being chopped in half where the shells. The onion, before when we talked about Shomer Agav Shomer, we were talking about taking an onion and splitting it in half, and you have the shell on the left side and the shell on the right side. Neither does anything, but do they combine? Do they still protect each other? Okay? Here we're talking about smaller things that are collected, as it were, together, and each individual item has no relevance protecting its neighbor.
You're doing a beautiful job.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're not interrupting. You're explaining very well. In fact, Rashi says exactly like you're saying. If you go back to the Rashi on the 6th line from the top, Shomer oichel shel cholku. We focused on kigoin oichel kibeya v'shomer olav v'cholku. You had a shear of oichel. Oichel could be an onion. Oichel could also be a piece of cake, and it was a shear of kibeya. And there was a shomer olav. There was a shomer. I don't know what the shomer of a piece of cake is, but whatever shomer was on top of it, and v'cholku, and you split it down the middle. So that's what we were talking about before. But Rashi gives now the second example that you were giving. He had 2 little, smaller onions. The 2 together are kibay, im shemrein, together with their shomer. So the shal is, are the mitzvah of the 2 shomer together or not? The reason I didn't mention the second case is because you'll notice this, my Gemara, there's a dalet, you probably have another letter or something that he brings from the Shittim Mekubetzes, that he's not goyris those words. So I left it out. But the Gemara, of course, holds that pshat, because the Gemara is talking about the numerous adashim together, or the pulim, or the kidneys together. In each case, each one of them is less than a shir kadeya. In each case, they have a shoymer on the outside, the pods, which are the sharvitim. So we said that we see that shomim are mitztarev. The Gemara had to answer, we're not talking about the pods, we're talking about the kulcha, which is the stem. Now the Gemara is asking the kashim at the adashim. I have the adashim bikli pasan. Each adashim with the klipa is l'moshel l'chvais, a tenth of a kibeya. How is it going to be mitztarif to make it tamei? Because you have 10 adashim together. So I see 10 smaller shomrim can be mitztarif together. So I can be poisha the shal of raboisha that shnei shomrim are mitztarif. The Gemara could have given the teretzes, Rashi, like we gave in the Omer Aleph, that don't ask me kashas from chita, sa'ira, and adashim, because they have a status of a barrier. Once you have the status of Beri, I don't need to come on to a second Adasha. One Adasha on its own is Aganza lentil. And if it has Aganza Shoimer on top of it, that's what we're learning in this price of Tanur Bishmal. It's Mitztarif because it's a Beri. We could have given that Teret, says Rashi. But says Rashi, it's a Doichik Teret. I don't like giving a Doichik Pshat if I can go and give a better Pshat. Really, Rashi says it's a Doichik Teret. Yeah. Look at the Rashi Chitin Bikli Pasan. If you look at the last 2 lines, V'achanavi have a matzal terutze Beri Yeshani elatirutze dechikol. It's shver to go. And the mola is a barrier. It's the chagansa ant that walks around and runs and comes and goes. It's a mamisha barrier. But what does an adasha do? Adasha shluf the ganza took. Lentils sleep. They don't walk around. They're not animate objects. They're not animate creatures. So what gives them the status of a barrier? That's a shvera teretz, says Rashi. That's why I have a better teretz. What's my better teretz? Back to the Gemara. Kid Omer Abacha Berei, the Rebbe, we said before, Bekulcha Umishum Yad. Just like we said before, Legabi, the pods. That we're not talking about pods. We're talking about the stems that are holding on to the pods. Hachanami B'shadra Umishum Shoimer. Here we're talking about the Chita Se'ira and the Adashim. Especially when you're talking about the chitim, they grow with a shedra. Now what does it mean, a shedra? Shedra, of course, normally means by a person or by an animal, a spine. What's a spine over here? So Rashi explains that the spine that we're talking about, the art scroll in the English says we're talking about an ear of grain. Ear, E-A-R, ear of grain. That ear of grain contains within it numerous stalks and kernels of wheat. So if you were talking about the actual wheat seed with a klipa around it, this is gunished. However, if you're talking about the klipa, meaning the larger ear of grain, that ear of grain is so large that if you combine all of the shiboylesin, all of the stalks, together with the actual kernels of grain inside it, it's much more than a kebaya. And the same thing applies apparently to a dashim. And so therefore, umishim shoymer. We're not talking al-tiyad, we're talking about a shoymer. And by shoymer, you don't even need a large shear of kizayis. Now shoymer is genuk, even a kipul, or less than a kipul, machloek is rabbin of Yoichanan. And we're not talking about multiple shomrim, we're talking about one huge shoymer in the form of this ear, where all of the grain is in it, or all of the adashim are within it, all one large pile, one large shtick. So therefore, it's not two shomer. Zok Gemara, bishloim ilisa tzrich letasisa. You're getting cut out. I don't know why, but you're...
I was going to say, they didn't have corn. It's like an ear of corn. They didn't have corn in those days, but the way that the corn grows, you have all the different kernels of corn inside, and the outside, the green outside, is a shomer for everything, as it were.
Very
good. They didn't actually have corn. They couldn't eat maize because they didn't have it. It's a new world crop. But that's the parallel, really, in terms of a vegetable that grows like that.
Beautiful. Okay, thank you very much for giving us that great illustration. And now the Gemara penetrates a little bit more. Bishlem ilisa tzrich letatisa, meaning that there are apparently layers on top of layers in these grains that are growing inside the ear, like your ear of corn, but here the ear of wheat, that you have a bottom portion, and then you have an upper portion. And therefore, says Gemara, the upper certainly needs the bottom, because if the bottom would fall to pieces and dissolve, then the top part would collapse and the whole thing would be nothing. So you, not only wouldn't you have a shoymer, you wouldn't have any wheat, you wouldn't have anything. El tatisa maitrich lelisa, the bottom part of the kernels of the stalks of wheat don't need the upper portion. In fact, as far as they're concerned, they would be better off just the bottom without the top, because the top just makes it heavy so that it could fall, it could break, and whatever. And I, the bottom guy, I have to support the top guy. So the bottom guys don't need the upper portion. So a bazoi freitimara, why do we say that those are all mitzvah to make one shomer? As far as the tatisa is concerned, I don't need the elisa, and I might prefer not even having the elisa. So how do you go and deem them to be all one together? Says Gemara, you're right. We're talking about chad dora, one row. We're not talking about the whole thing from top to bottom. Just one row, I guess, in the circumference. That is what we're talking about. That this shedra, this ear, is keeping it all together, and it's one shoymer for the whole kit and caboodle. If you're talking about just one row, does that have a full shear of kebeya? Don't you need the upper and the lower to be mashed to a full shear kebeya? Says Zimar, by your regular normal chitim, you're right. But we're talking about v'chiti de shimen ben shetach. Shimen ben shetach, the Gemara Maseches Tanis tells us that there was a tremendous, tremendous bracha from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so that each chita kernel was kishtei kloyos shoshar hagadol. Kloyos, as you know, are kidneys. One kernel of wheat, or one stalk of wheat, was as large as two large kloyos, two large kidneys, and a huge shor. So this was huge. In such a situation, chadora has more than a kebay. Now the Gemara doesn't mean that this price is talking about the chitim of Shimon Shetach. After all, that was one dar. He just means kir chiti de Shimon Shetach. That just like in the time of Shimon Shetach, you had a large chitim, and so therefore in one dara, in one row, you could have more than a kebeya. That's what this price is talking about when he's talking about chitim, that it was chadara, but huge chitim, like we were zoich in the times of Shimon Shetach, doesn't have to be as large as two kloyas, but much larger than your standard regular chitim. Says Zimor, once you're coming onto this teretz, chad chitim nami v'chitim shimon shetach. You don't even have to talk anymore about the large ear that has in it several different grains or several different kernels and stalks within the one ear. Just talking about one stalk of grain on its own, even though under normal circumstances that would not be a shir kedeya. But in the time of the shim ben shatach, or in a similar situation where you have these big, large chitim, you could have b'chadara, or you don't even need to come on to chadara, one stalk with the kernel inside, that would be the shomer, and together there would be a shir kedeya. So lamasa, we have not been poishit our shal about the shnei shomrim, because each time we thought we had a raya, and the gemara was doicha the raya. Kufa. Now we're going to start a new shtickel now. Zog the Gemara, it's not only new because we brought this already at the beginning of today's daf. Kufa shnei atzomis valein shnei chatzoi zesim v'hichlis rasheim shneim labayis v'abayis mal alein. Habayis is tomei, Yehuda ben akusa mishim reb yankif heich shnei atzomis mitzav v'leke zayif. Now what is this all about? What we're talking about once again is Rachman Litzlan, a person passed away and he left over, in this case there were two bones. Each bone had on it a chotzi kezayis of flesh, and the chotzi zayis of flesh were outside the house. They were over the threshold, but the bones to which the half kezayis of flesh were attached are inside the house. And the house is ma'al aleihem. So even though there was technically no flesh with inside the house, but the two bones act as conductors, as machnisim or moitzim. They're moitzi the tumah from the outside, and then machnas it to the inside, and therefore the bayis will become tameh, according to the Tanakam. Yehuda ben Akusa says, no. Since each one of them was less than a kezayis, it's not mitztarev, and therefore it would not be mitan. Zoktimar, Omer Ish Lakish, says Ish Lakish, lo yishanu. This machlokes that we just had now was because I had two separate atzamois, and to each etzam was attached a chutzi zayis. What happens if I have one large etzem to which was attached more than a kezayis of basar? Then everybody would agree that even though the kezayis of basar was not inside, it was outside, but the rest of the bone was inside, it would be machnas esatum. And therefore we'd have a bias tameh, an oil mess. Omer Ish Lakish, Loishan, when do we say that? That when the etzem sticks in and you have the basar outside, it becomes an oil mess. Ela etzem to have a yad. It's got to be that the etzem that we're talking about is a yad. But what happens if the piece of meat that was outside was not connected to a bone? It was connected to threads of meat. Real threads. And those threads were now going into the house. So you'd think, I have a yad, I have a shomer. No. A neem is goodish, a thread is goodish. Why? Because if you're going to pick up the piece of meat with that thin thread, what's going to happen when you say meat? The flesh nebuch of a human being. If it's attached just to a thread, you pick up the thread and the flesh is going to fall to the floor. So it's not an effective yad. So an etzim is an effective yad, but not a neem. No, even a thread will also work to be a yad. Even though you're right, it's going to tear, nevertheless, it's a good yad. So Frank Timar Ace for Yabikh Lashlokish. I have befeita sharaya. What's my befeita sharaya? From my Gemara later on. It says, Or Shiyeshal of Kizayas. Basar. You have an oil, a leather, a skin that has on it Kizayas Basar. Hanagia Bitsiv Hayoitsimimenu. Ubasara Shekinegdoi is Tame. If you go and touch the tziv, what's tziv? Tziv, says Rashi, means chut basar. In other words, you have a piece of meat, but it was a very thin piece of meat, like a chut, like a thread of basar. Oh, similar to what we were just talking about with the nima. Ubasara, or if you had sticking out of this oil, of the skin, you had a hair. Now what happens? The tumma didn't touch the basar, it didn't touch the oil, but rather the tumma touched the tziv or the sara, either that thin thread of meat or the hair sticking out of the skin. Also, it's tameh because it conducts tumah. Frank Timura, my lami shim yad, isn't it because of yad? And I see that Rabbi Yochanan is right, that a nima nami have a yad, even though it's not an etzem, even a thin strip of meat, or even a sara, even a thin hair, is also enough to be a yad, to be machnes amoyti tumah. So tumaloi, it's mishum shoymer, it's als shoymer dikedin, and the whole machlok is between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish was only the gabayad. Right? Rish Lakish said loy shana el etzim da beyad nimaloi. But they weren't talking about Shoyim, but they were talking about Yad. Frank Yimara, but explain to me. You're telling me that it's a Shoyimer. Now, how is it a Shoyimer? It's on the outside of the oil, right? We started off, or so the oil is a Shoyimer. Any tziv or sara sticking out of the oil, if you're telling me that that's a Shoyimer, that's Shoyimer shal gabe Shoyimer. Until now, we assumed, how is he going to pick up and transport the or sheyesh lof kezayis? He's going to hold on to that tziv or that sara. So that should be a yad. And it says, Rabbi Yoich says, Rish Lakish, that yad is going to last not more than 3 seconds because it's soon going to fall. It's going to tear. Says Rabbi Yoich, I don't care. Still has a din of yad. So that Rabbi Yoich has a good terai against Rish Lakish. But the Gemara says, no, we're not going to be yad. We're going out shoymer. Frey Timura, didn't we say before that there's no such thing as shoymer gabi shoymer? That's how we had the lengthy discussion before with Brother Barry, that you had multiple shomrim. And the Gemara concluded before Rashi said, shoymer gabi shoymer is not called a shoymer. So isn't this tziv or this sara, if you're calling it betrayed a shoymer, I'm afraid it's a shoymer gabi shoymer. And for the Gemara, no, it's chelchule mechalchel. Means when you're talking about the thread, and or you're talking about the hair, which is extending from the oir, there's a hole in the oir that we call follicles, hair follicles. So therefore the hair is not really attached to the oir. It looks like it's attached to the oir. But if you could look underneath the hair, you'd see that there is a loch, that there is a hole, and that hair goes deep beyond the oir and touches the flesh underneath. Oh, it's a shoymer directly on the meat, which is underneath the oil. Frey Timara, 1 second. So you're telling me that every time you have a skin of an animal, which has lots of hair outside, that they're really tiny, tiny holes throughout that skin. After all, we write tefillin on the oil of a behema. How can you go and write tefillin? You have to have ksivatama. Ksivatama means that there are no, so to speak, holes inside the ink or inside the oisiyos. Where do we get this concept of ksivatama? Because we say every day in Krishma, uchsav tom al mezuzah v'secha v'sherecha. And the Gemara learns uchsav tom ksivatama. But it's not ksivatama. Every little ois that you write in your tefillin has in it numerous holes underneath it where previously you had the sarois, which you uprooted and you shaved and you took it off, but the antir holds inside the cloth. Everything Gemara, ishtemitzi od yamar marava. The kasha that you asked is really not a kasha. You forgot what they taught in Eretz Yisrael. Kol nekev shadiyoy oiver olav einay nekev. If the nekev in the cloth is so small that when you put the ink on top, none of the ink kind of gets submerged and falls through the cloth because there's a hole, but it stays stable on top of the cloth, that is such an insignificant hole, it doesn't have a status of a hole, and it doesn't interfere with ksivatam. So with this, we have entered the kashu b'yirchan Rish Lakish, we're not talking mitzad yad, we're talking mitzad shoyma. V'ibo yisei meno, kulu mishimi, we're talking about yad. You're talking about yad, so b'yirchan has a good kashu Rish Lakish, I see that even sara shekinegdoi is enough. Kiram rabbi lo, bin maloi, shebein ha-maloyim, what the Gemara is talking about is, says Rish Lakish, if you only have one little hair, a little hair is gunished. It cannot be an effective yad, because as soon as you pick up the basar or anything else with one, or the oil, with one little hair, wait 1 second, 3 seconds, it's going to tear, it's going to fall off. However, what happens if you had 5 hairs, or 10 hairs, or 20 hairs? Oh, that's already a different story. Then you could hold up. So you have the oil with the basar on the other side. One hair, of course, you're right, it's going to tear. But if I had 5 hairs, or 20 hairs, or 50 hairs, and I grab hold of all of those hairs, guess what happens? Then they would not tear. Says our Gemara, says Rabbi Yochanan, or even Rish Lakish, when did I say that one hair has no chashivos loy haviyat, when you have one hair by itself? But if you have 10 hairs, 20 hairs, 50 hairs, well, you could pick it up with all of the hairs, then each hair has significance as a status of yad. So Rish Lakish, I would agree with you, Rabbi Yochanan, when you have many hairs, that even each individual hair has a status of a yad. Just like Rabbi Loi said, bin Maloi. Now what exactly is a Maloi? The Gemara is going to tell us in another couple of lines that by a shiboilis, you have a stalk of grain, on the top of it you have many hairs sticking out, and those are called Malay or Maloi. One hair, of course, if you would pick up the whole stalk with that one hair, the whole thing would plot, so it would fall down. But if you grab it with all the hairs which are sticking out, the hairs look like a beard, the Gemara tells us elsewhere. So you hold it, all of those beard hairs all at once, it has the status of a yad. So just like Rabbi Loi said that Malay, Shemena Malay, one hair among many hairs, here too, one hair attached to the oir, one out of many. The Eichi in Madre Blo, where is this Rabbi Loi? Aha, Malay should be Shibalim. You have that beard of hair that's growing out of the shiboilis, out of the stalk of grain. Metamen and metamen, veini mitstarfen. They have the status that they are metamen. Metamen means that they are machlis satoma and moitzi satoma. Veini mitstarfen, but they're not mitstarif because they don't have a status of a shoimer. They have a status of a yad. And as we learned before, only a shoimer is mitstarif from the pasuk of al kozera zerua sheizareya mit the three klipois chitim be klipasan. And soirim and adashim beklipas. Okay, so any mitzvah. Freiti mara malei lemay chazi malei. If you talk about each individual here, each individual is gunish. It's nothing. So kimar rabbi loy the malei shemena malei. Enachanam. Each one individually is gunish, but you collect them together, then they have a chashivas. So then even each one has a chashivas as a yad. Lishnachrina is very similar. Amrila hachinam mistava. I'll bring you a raya that we're talking about yad and not al shoimer. To me, ishim shoimer that we talk hakanam mistava. I'm sorry, hakanam mistava to mishim shoimer. We're talking about a shoimer and not al yad. In other words, like the first teretz of the Gemara, it's a shoimer, and how is it a shoimer? Chelchuli mechalchali, like we said before, it goes and touches the actual basar itself and not just the art. Hakanam mistava to mishim shoimer. These are the mishim yad. Nima achas lamay chazi. What does one here have any value? One here is a chunish. So how can you talk about that should be a yad, one nima? No. You could have a yad, a nima achas, having a chshivis of a yad. How? When it's together with many other 5, 10, 20 other hairs together. Hachanami, here too, it's over nima shemeni nima. Here too, by the or, we're not talking about one isolated sa'ara, or tziv, we're talking about numerous. Where's this Rabbi Loi? None. Hamalei should be shabalim, metamim, metamim, v'im, it's tarfin. Lamei, lamei, chazi, malei is just the hair which is attached to the shiboilis. This is a gunisht. Just like over there, Rabbi Loi said, one hair attack on its own is gunisht, but as part of a group of hairs, it has a chashivas. Same thing over here, when you have one nima sticking out of the oil, says Rish Lakish, that's gunish. But if you have numerous together, then avad, each one of them could be a conducer, a conductor of tumah v'tahara. And if you're talking about a shomer, it could even be mitzaref to the shir kibayim. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. To be continued, Me'at Hashem, tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Hatzlacha.